In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
Well, thank you for joining us on Mornings with Tom and Tabby. Right now, we're going to get into a conversation on the controversial abortion drugs and learn more about them and some of the politics around them and safety issues. We'll be talking with Dr. Ingrid Skop. She is a pro-life OBGYN in San Antonio and the medical director of the Charlotte Lozier Institute, a pro-life research group. Good morning to you, Dr. Skop.
Thanks. It's great to be with you guys.
Yeah, Ingrid, we really appreciate you just taking a few moments out of your day to be with us here today. And if we could just like lay some foundation, people are hearing a lot about abortion drugs and just give us some foundation. What exactly is it that we're talking about?
Yeah, very good question, because I think a lot of people don't really understand. It's not the same as emergency contraception or Plan B, which is an action that tries to prevent fertilization. These two drugs are given when a pregnancy is known to exist with the intent of killing the unborn human being. Mifepristone blocks progesterone receptors, cuts off the hormonal support, and kills the embryo or fetus, followed about 24 hours later by misoprostol that causes contractions to expel the tissue. It's a terrible experience for women. They'll bleed heavily, an average of about 2 weeks. More than half describe the pain as severe because essentially their body is going into labor. And sadly, many of these women will see their aborted child. It's being promoted to them as safer than Tylenol. That's absolutely not true. In fact, there are four times as many complications from abortion drugs compared to a surgical abortion.
Okay, if I could just continue to ask, that's one of those things that they don't think about, and that's one of the things that makes it so dangerous, aside from the fact that, taking the life of an innocent. But with that, how do you get the word out about kind of the process? Because people just think, okay, I take a pill and everything's better, but that's not the case. It could be a two-week process you had just shared with us, and then not only does it stop the growing of the fetus, and then you have contractions and you actually give birth, technically, is what it sounds like to me. And that can be unbelievably traumatic for someone.
It is. And these women are often ashamed. They don't want to talk about it. And I've even had women tell me, I think this is what I deserved for making this decision. So that's why we don't hear about it. The abortion industry, of course, paints a rosy picture, publishes studies where they say, oh, this looks like it has few complications. But see, the reality is, most of the time when people have complications, they don't go back to that provider who told them it was safer than Tylenol. They show up in emergency rooms. And I've cared for many of these women. In fact, the FDA's own data at the time that they approved it showed that 1 out of 25 women went to an emergency room with a complication. So we can see that, you know, from the very beginning, they sort of bent their rules to approve it. In fact, they did accelerated approval regulations by redefining pregnancy as a life-threatening illness so they could rush it through. Initially, they had pretty tight restrictions on it, but over time, they've removed all of the critical safeguards. It's approved up to 10 weeks, so it's only to be used early in pregnancy. And yet, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they removed all in-person supervision, all pre-abortion testing. So they rely on women to estimate their gestational age. They could be wrong. If it's used at less than 9 weeks, about 6%, even then, will fail and require surgery because their body can't get rid of all the tissue, or they may have a hemorrhage, or they may have an infection. There's a black box warning that the FDA has put on these drugs because women have died from an overwhelming sepsis, and yet they removed all of this. Now they allow these drugs to be prescribed by telemedicine and ordered online and sent through the mail. So I think we can all see the problems. They're using them to circumvent state laws in like Tennessee and Texas, where we're trying to protect unborn life. They're using them to get abortions into our states. And the doctors, most of whom are pro-life, who don't do abortions, are being called in to care for these complications. No ultrasound. They're not ruling out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy, which can kill a woman. They're not doing labs to determine if a woman needs Rogam to prevent future pregnancy complications. And egregiously, when they're ordered online, no one even knows who's ordering these drugs. Is it a woman who wants an abortion and knows the alternatives, knows that there's pregnancy centers that would love to support her if she wanted to give birth to her child? Or is it a sex trafficker or an incestuous abuser or a coercive man who wants to force an abortion on a woman? We don't know. The FDA has just allowed this to be widespread, unsupervised pills.
You picked a wonderful time to listen, but it is a difficult time to listen because of the subject matter we are exploring with Dr. Ingrid Skop about abortion medication that we're learning about, kind of the horrors associated with it that you just don't hear about in mainstream media. And we are now just learning a little bit more about this very scary development.
And Dr. Skop, you have been leveraging more than 30 years' experience as a practicing OBGYN to support research and policies that respect the dignity of every human life. And where is that leading you as you work towards informing the public about things and also working to put some...
We've discussed this is an issue that most Americans do not understand. Even pro-life Christians often do not know the details. So at LozierInstitute.org, we have a lot of really good information so that people can educate themselves and be able to discuss this with their friends and their pastors and really get a conversation going. I do continue to practice in San Antonio as well. So I'm seeing the women that have been injured in the emergency rooms, which has been really eye-opening to see. But these conversations need to occur. So thank you for talking about it this morning.
Well, you're very welcome. You're hearing the voice of Dr. Ingrid Skop really talking about the abortion pill that is available. And let me just ask this, because it seems that there are decisions that are being made maybe on a political level when they should be being made at a flip it back so that doctors are doing what they're supposed to do with that wonderful Hippocratic oath of doing no harm.
That's a very good question. So there is a lawsuit from the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. So again, pro-life doctors who want to care for both of their patients, who instead are being called to the emergency room to care for the complications after abortions. We sued the FDA because, as we discussed earlier, the FDA has removed critical safeguards, allowing these drugs to just flood the country and to be totally medically unsupervised. The good news is that case has gone to the Supreme Court. The Fifth Circuit was compelled by our data, and they said, absolutely, we would put all these safeguards back on these drugs, which would limit them to common sense things like early gestational age, 7 weeks, prescribed by a doctor who could care for the complications, and mandatory complication reporting. Right now, there's nothing mandatory about complication reporting on abortion in our country. That's why our data is so poor and we don't know about all the complications. So the Supreme Court has heard arguments. By the end of June, they will hopefully rule on this case. But regardless, I mean, obviously for the women, I want these safeguards to go back in place to protect them because we just have no idea how many women are being harmed right now. But even equally important is the fact that this case is getting Americans talking about the issue of abortion drugs, which, as I said, you know, we really need to educate ourselves because we've been, honestly, we've been gaslighted for over 50 years about abortion. We've been told women need it. We've been told it almost never hurts a woman. And that's not true.
Okay. Yeah, you're hearing from Dr. Ingrid Skop. And if I may, Ingrid, forgive me for being blunt on this one. But yes, these safeguards make it a little bit safer for women. But the end result is still the same for the unborn baby. And so I'm very pro-life in my stance with this. And I understand for protecting the woman in this very difficult decision that they need to make. But it seems like the end result is still the same, which is the death of an unborn.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But what's happening right now is women are just rushing into this action without thought. Mm-hmm. But our country needs to deal with the issue that this is a living human being, and we are facilitating his destruction largely for social and financial reasons. So I think if we can come to the science and say, you know, of course, I care for the unborn child immensely, but I also care for his mother, and these women are being lied to. And so I've discovered that some people will say, yeah, I know it's a human being, and I don't really care. I don't think his life has value. I only care about the woman. So we can also approach this from the direction of, if you care about the woman, she is also being injured by abortion. So, you know, maybe if we can approach it from that way, we can, you know, find some common ground with people who say that they care about women.
Yeah, so you're trying to address the issue from multiple angles, and I can definitely mm-hmm. appreciate that. Before we wrap up, I have to ask you this. I have heard that statistically abortions are up since the Dobbs decision because, I think, of the pill and that people are rushing to get that. Do you have mm-hmm. information on that?
Yeah, two things are happening at the same time, one encouraging, one discouraging. Nonpartisan researchers at Johns Hopkins have documented that in Texas, for example, 1,000 lives have been saved a month. So babies are being saved by these abortion limitations. But at the same time, because these abortion drugs are so widely available, more women are falling into the action of abortion. So it seems counterintuitive, but lives are being saved, but also Guttmacher Institute did tell us that last year that we were back over 1 million abortions, and 630,000 of those were abortion drugs. And again, when we talk about 1 out of 25 women going to an emergency room after these drugs, that's tens of thousands of women being harmed, overwhelming our emergency rooms because of the FDA's actions.
Mm. So still work to be done in conversations and helping people understand something from a different worldview. This is not just going to be a political battle.
Right. And Ingrid, if I get to just ask one more time, just taking the politics off of the mm-hmm. table here, what is something that we can do today to really help educate people about what's going on right now?
Right. So it's so sad that it's considered a political issue, because really this is a human rights issue. This is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. This is a spiritual issue.
Yes.
So I think really two important things. One is educate ourselves and talk to people. Educate those surrounding us, because, again, so few people understand. And the second thing is there are 3,000 pregnancy resource centers in our country. Undoubtedly, there's at least one, maybe more, in Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. People should support them financially. They should support them by volunteering. Find out what they're doing, because surveys tell us that most women with a history of abortion said they would have preferred to give birth if they'd only had the support. So that's what these organizations do best. So I think between those two things, we can begin to change this conversation.